Oh, hello there. I didn't see you come in. I'm Shane O'Hare of the Geekscape Games Podcast, the number one video game podcast on the Geekscape.network. Join myself, Derek Krennevelt, and a guest every fortnight as we discuss video game news, video game reviews, and dissections. That's Geekscape Games every 2 weeks on Geekscape.net.
What's up, Geekscapists? Welcome to a brand new Geekscape podcast. I'm Jonathan London, your host, and if this is your first Geekscape, well, strap yourselves in for some pop culture talk, movies, video games, comic books, all that stuff. Maybe you came here to find out what Jonathan thought of Falcon and the Winter Soldier. We're definitely going to get to that once the season wraps up this week. I'll be talking to Ian Kerner. We'll have a little special where we go through the whole season and talk about what it means to the MCU. Don't worry, geeks. You're going to get your Falcon and the Winter Soldier talk. But this episode, we're going to be talking a lot of filmmaking. We got a brand new podcast here on the Geekscape Network called Femme Regards, and it's all about female filmmaking. It's pretty awesome. My good friends, Catalina and Tessa, they host it. And you know what? It's just one of these podcasts that Matt Kelly found. And we talked about Matt Kelly last episode, right? We got a lot of podcasts here on the network now. And it's pretty much Matt being like, hey, I want to make some friends. I'll go out and add some podcasts to the network. And it really is great because we have so much diversity here. And it's one thing that I definitely wanted to do. Don't tell IncelBot, who runs my computer, this, but when I was looking for a co-host, especially when I was starting to go live, it was something I really wanted to do for 2020 anyway, was I wanted to start doing a live show. Granted, the pandemic made us do that remotely on the internet, which I've really enjoyed. And I love having y'all in the chat and talking to y'all on Facebook and Twitch and YouTube and all those cool places. I definitely wanted to, I had circled Katie, and I think Katie's amazing. She's such an amazing co-host. I love doing the show with Katie. But as funny and hilarious as Katie is, I think it was an opportunity for me to be like, hey, let's not have another male voice on Geekscape. Like, you have this stupid Ray Romano looking dude talking all blah, 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 like a Muppet as it is, with my dumb jokes, dumb ideas, and I was totally hyper last episode. But I see Katie as, like, the next phase for me for Geekscape is like, hey, I want Katie to have a show. I want Katie to jump on Geekscape Games. And I really want to start adding diverse voices, starting with women, to the network. If you're somebody who's like, hey, I'm a diverse voice and I'm a total geek, maybe Geekscape's a cool place for you to start a podcast as well. I know a guy who has a podcasting company. His name is Matt Kelly and Chris Fafalios of our own One Hit Thunder. Maybe that's a cool place to start putting your podcast together. But getting back to our guest today, it's really important for me to have a conversation with Matt, and I know he was behind it as well, and say, hey, let's see if we can get more women on the network, right? We don't want this to become a boys club. We see how the internet turns out, right? I mean, who knows? Maybe Tessa will get like a Star Wars movie, and we don't want some nerd to get on Instagram and start running her off the internet just because she happened to be in a Star Wars movie. You know what happens. You know you're responsible. You know you left those comments, and you know who you are. Hopefully you're not a Geekscapist, and hopefully if you heard that, you're like, yeah, this isn't my place. Okay, enough filibustering. Let's start the episode. Expect some filmmaking talk, and maybe we'll talk about the Oscars. But without further ado, let's bring Katie on here. And Katie, that's about all I'm going to talk this episode.
Just feel so pumped up and ready to go, dude. Yeah. Like, that's all you're going to, yeah? Okay. Get out of here. It's going to be like that clubhouse where I was like, everybody, get out of here.
You want it to be just lady talk tonight. Is that what you want? Because
we don't have to do that. We don't have to do that.
I mean, you can. I don't mind being outnumbered and I don't mind being run off. Like, trust me, if Geekscapists want to hear Jonathan, there's like 15 years of this stuff.
This is true. This is true. You're just trying to get me to run this show. Just top to bottom. I get it. I know how managers work. I get this.
Katie, If you have time to lean, you have time to clean, all right?
Like, oh, man. Did you ever work in a restaurant and hear that? How much does that make your blood boil?
Okay, so here's the story, geeks. You'll appreciate this. I worked at a Blockbuster. I worked at my two jobs in high school were a comic book store, and I also worked at Blockbuster. Blockbuster was kind of during the week and weekends, and then during the day on weekends, I'd work at a comic book store. And I had a manager who definitely gave me the, you have time to lean, you have time to clean. And at that point, I had already gotten into college, and I was like within like 2 weeks of being like,
bye.
Au revoir. And so I was just out of control. Mm-hmm. And I remember I deserved to be reprimanded because I was just slacking off, and I was at the counter and acting like a cool VHS
cool idiot
jockey, like, hey, have you seen The Evil Dead 2? Like, what a nerd. Oh, you like Tarantino? You should watch John Woo's The Killer. Ever heard of it? I'm so cool. Like,
I feel like that's a dead-on impression of you younger. Like, maybe last week younger? Like, that's how you spoke? It's only until this episode here today, after 15 years, that you finally dropped into an actual voice. Everything else was just, actually.
So my manager comes over, and she completely within her right says, you got time to lean, you got time to clean. I turned to her and I said, you got time to cry, you got time to die. I don't know what that means.
I don't either, but that sounds like a threat. That straight up sounds like a threat, and I'm surprised you didn't get sued.
How do you not get immediately fucking fired or arrested for that?
Like, it was a different time in the 90s. Men ruled the world, even if they weren't the manager. that's your influence, man.
As far as thinly veiled threats go, that's not really that thinly veiled. That is just, I will fuck you up.
I will kill you if you tell me to clean again. Yeah, I would. If I was a manager, I would be like, okay, let's not bring him back for a shift. That would be my note.
I know you got a job to do, but I got a job to do too. And cleaning the streets. But first, I'm going to go over and clean the aisle. Yeah, I wasn't the best employee.
I mean, were any of us really when we were younger? I was a dumb idiot. Let's be real. I said a lot of dumb things. I also brought like fish to like the office. Like I was just like, oh, I had salmon last night, and I have some leftover salmon. Big faux pas if you didn't know it, and you never worked
like
in an office.
Fish?
You just don't heat up fish in the office microwave. And you know what?
Katie, I was imagining you from like the state fair coming in with goldfish and like a Ziploc bag and water. like you
look what I won, you guys.
Yeah, like you know Lunch. The game where you know the game where they have like the empty Coke bottles out there and you have to throw the ring on the Coke bottle.
1,000%.
And then like if you get like 3 of those things out of 10, you get like a goldfish in a bag.
Which is interesting for carnivals because it's like, hey, here's a pet and responsibility for throwing a ring on a Coke bottle.
Yeah, here's a life responsibility. It's like, nah, no thanks. So were you like thinking of sharing that fish with your coworkers?
No, it's the smell. It's the smell that like offends people. So like
you just brought it for your lunch.
I just brought it for my lunch because the fact that I had fish for dinner the night before was a big deal. Thank you, Trader Joe's, because I was very poor. But like, I was like, all right, I'm getting, you know, my mercury poisoning and whatever. And I heated it up in the microwave at the office and people were like, why would you do that? That's the dumbest thing.
You're immediately the worst.
I'm the worst.
Like,
I'm that person.
Employee ever.
I'm the fish girl, which is not a great thing to have tagged to you, especially as a female. I just want to put that out there. You never want the scent of fish near you or on you.
Okay, now, real quick, and then we got to bring the femme regard kids on. But did you hear this? I mean, you've heard that. I've told this on the show. My buddy Todd has a Steven Seagal story about his birthday cake. Okay, no. So. My buddy Todd, fuck, what's he gonna do? Karate chop me? I'm not gonna protect his name. Maybe Todd will be killed by Stephen.
Really worried about this story.
So Todd's a good dude, and he works in post. And he was working like early CGI in the mid 90s when they were working on a movie called Glimmer Man. And Glimmer Man has like one of the Wayans brothers teaming up in an action movie with Steven Seagal. And literally, the post department's job as far as CGI goes, was to like shave back Steven Seagal's neck.
No, what?
Like, yeah, like digitally make his neck like, like they had to make him look thinner. Right, yeah. So
the jobs, I mean, we do. I mean,
now he looks like Grimace wearing a gi, karate chopping people. Like he just looks like we might as well just paint him purple and make a McDonald's karate movie because that's what he looks like. So, what ended up happening was Todd works in post and he had his birthday, so he had his birthday cake and they didn't finish it all, and the birthday cake went in the fridge. The next morning, Todd is driving to work and he's all he's thinking about is I am going to get a piece of that cake and enjoy it because it's my birthday and I'm looking forward to it. Steven Seagal was in that day with his like crew, right?
The I already
crew
see where of, this like, is going. Yeah.
Yes, men who are like, oh, Steven looks great. Great
do
karate
whatever you
shot.
Want. Yeah. Yeah.
Let's use that other shot of him headbutting some guy. And Todd just, you know, is walking in and he puts his stuff down and then goes straight to the kitchen. I'm going to have cake for breakfast. I'm so excited. It's my birthday and I deserve it. And he walks in. And the first thing he sees is the
good
refrigerator
SS.
Door open. The refrigerator door is open, Katie. And Steven Seagal is on all fours like a dog, shoveling cake with his bare hands into his mouth out of the what? Fridge.
Why is he on the floor, though? But why?
I don't know.
I love the speed it took that, like, the door is still swung open, and he's like, ugh! Like, mid-ass.
I don't know what's happening, but he was so pissed. What was he going to do? Like, it's Steven Seagal. Like, even at, like, 300 pounds, he can
freaking
choke,
birthday
choke him to death,
cake.
Right?
Yeah, he could also buy him a store that makes birthday cakes. Like,
I don't know. Like, I would have been like...
The problem. Here's why I'm probably not allowed anywhere near Steven Seagal, but I would call him out. I'd be like, dude, that's my birthday cake.
Yeah. This is what I would have done. All right. Geekscape is because, like, you listen to Geekscape for a reason. It's because Jonathan is just so cool. That's why you listen to a show called Geekscape. Oh, boy. This is what I would have done, Katie. This is what I would like to think that I would have done.
Okay.
I would have walked in and been like, hope you made a wish, because it's a death wish. I would have fucking slammed the fridge door on his face and just kept going until he and the cake are one and the same. But you know what? You just wait, and he and the cake were already one and the same. Like,
all right.
Have you seen the dude recently?
Here's
He's half
the,
cake.
Here's the new Geekscape goal. We're going
to kill Steven Seagal.
We're going to befriend Steven Seagal, reenact this. Hey. And do that scene. It's just this is just I'm thinking long term here. I'm trying to get Geekscape on a route, you know,
you've
on the road.
Your last birthday. You know, I tried to get my ass kicked by Tyrese a few years ago at Comic-Con when he was like promoting his comic book.
Yes.
Tyrese was going around selling his comic book for $10, and I hunted the entire floor for him the entire 4 days of Comic-Con just so I could interview him and say, Tyrese, what is this? Oh, it's my comic book. Ah, my good friend Tony Rodriguez did the art, so I had an in. And the whole point of the interview was to get to this line. I was gonna be like, oh, yeah, how much are you selling your comic book for? And Tyrese would be like, oh, yeah, here at Comic-Con, it's signed, it's $10. I'd be like, great, you figured out what Hollywood couldn't. How to convince people to pay 10 bucks for Tyrese. And then I would have just waited for the... out of my
you just
peripheral
want it. You
vision,
want to be punched in the
I
face?
I just wanted his fist to go into my face, and I wasn't going to sue. I wasn't going to bill him with the medical stuff. You would have just seen my broken face with a smile, like, falling off camera. It would have been awesome.
All right. I'm telling you, we've got a plan. There's things that we need to get done.
Okay.
You need say this to Tyrese. You need to get Steven Seagal on the horn. Okay. Great. We've got a plan.
I mean, honestly, Katie, what I need to do is I got to get the Femmeguard kids on here.
Absolutely. And I'm very excited.
They didn't come on here to hear a bunch of false machismo from this nerd in chief. Okay. All right. Tessa, Carolina, let's get in here.
Hello.
Hey.
Welcome to the show.
Why, thank you. Thank you. He rolled those R's.
Yes, you rolled the R's. And I just have to say, the whole carnival fish thing, I won one time, and it lived for 7 years. So, like, when you say it's a responsibility that you're winning, it can really be a responsibility.
Fish can be, like, they can last a long time. It's like if they gave cats out at the carnival. Like, they're a lifelong companion. Like,
yeah.
They're just giving them out.
It's either 7 minutes or 7 years. Like,
yeah.
Tessa, so, I think that might have been your Pokemon, like, companion.
Oh, yeah. I think
your starter Pokemon, and you were like, I choose you. And then, like, when that thing went down and got flushed down the toilet, like, That's probably the saddest Pokemon episode ever.
Listen, we buried her in the yard because, I mean, okay. She stuck around that long.
Okay. My childhood swimming pool would dump goldfish into it as like a 4th of July event, and we'd have to catch it, like swim. It was actually kind of the coolest thing. And I kid you not, though, it was always really sad because they only lived for 7 minutes after that because the chlorine would kill them.
I was just going to say.
I know.
And they have to put like extra chlorine in those pools because kids are peeing them in all the time. So it's like ammonia and it's like, goodness.
It was so bizarre. It was like the coolest but saddest thing. Like looking back on, I'm like, yeah, that was a bad decision. I don't know who was in charge of that.
What is the worst thing that ever happened in a communal pool growing up for y'all? Just straight up.
I feel like you have a story behind that question.
I do, but it was awkward. But like, honestly, like, there's kids who pee, there's kids who vomit, there's like kids who like try and do the trick and they like bean their heads on the side. Oh, what was that, Catalina?
We would try to do like the Matrix moves, like get like, you know, drown yourself to the bottom of the pool and then start to kind of like walk up the walls. Like that was my favorite thing to do, you know, sink to the bottom. I don't have any horror stories. I'm sure some kid ate it on the diving board. Like, you know, I'm sure that happened.
Try to do the triple Lindy from Back to School.
Just right on the
edge. So this is deep cut, but we used to do like water crash landings as kids. Like we would pretend that we were in a jet fighter, and there was a movie called Daryl. I don't remember if any of y'all remember a movie called Daryl, and the box art straight from the video store was it was Daryl, but it was D-A-R-Y-L, and Daryl was this top secret like robot kid, and he escapes from the army. And the beginning of the movie, there's a jet that he's in, and it's a fighter plane that he's probably taught himself how to pilot.
Sure.
And he gets shot down.
Those are easy. Fighter pilots are real easy to teach yourself about.
It was like somebody in Hollywood was like, let's make Terminator for kids. And so at the beginning of this movie, like Daryl gets shot into this river or this lake and he crash lands with his feet out. So we kept trying to jump into the water like Daryl. And we thought we were so entertained. But the what I'm telling you here about the terrible thing you find in the pool is one morning we woke up and there was a possum that had drowned in our pool.
Okay,
this poor possum. And so then we didn't want to go in the pool because we thought we were going to get this viral rabies, like fictitious possum disease.
No, I would believe that. I still believe that. Don't.
Of course, we made
that's
a game.
No goldfish. That's a possum.
We made a game called Possum Disease, where you run around and try and push each other into the pool. And if you're infected as the possum, there can only be one possum at a time, only one possum disease. and you had to run around, it'd be like, you had to make hissing possum sounds. So imagine like a bunch of 8 to 10 year olds running around the pool, dangerously pushing each other in and going, and one time my younger brother Paul and I were trying to escape my older brother Daniel. And Paul slipped and he was falling towards the pool and I grabbed at him and I was like, oh no, and he fell in the pool. And when he jumped out, he stayed character. He goes,
he jumped at me.
I mean, the commitment to possum disease.
I mean, I want to play this as an adult.
I know. Honestly, I think the next time we all hang out, which will be this summer at some point, we got to play the possum.
We both have pools, Carolina and I, so.
San Diego Comic-Con. 2022, San Diego Comic-Con, we're doing possum disease. Oh, God.
I kid you not, I have a possum that visits my like deck area, and we have a pool right next door. So, you know, it is, I play that every night. Like,
it's a matter of time.
Okay, so you're going to need to, like, trap that for Comic-Con.
Oh, no.
Bring it down to San Diego.
Yeah, you know.
Okay, so Matt Kelly's in the chat, and he said, my cousin used to play alligator, which was inspired by the 1980 horror film. The way the game worked was we swam at night and he'd swim around with goggles and pull us underwater and kill us. He's still traumatized by swimming at night from it.
Did you all like have like any childhood games that were as like aggressive as this?
We were boys.
Yeah, like I remember in like recess, we would play war, which was literally just boys against girls, and it was just chasing each other and like pushing each other. So it wasn't extremely violent, but like people did end up with a lot of scrapes on their knees. But.
Did you ever push a kid down and just be like, "You may have lost the battle, but you might win the war or something like cool.
You're gonna win the war. Yeah,
I guarantee it happened.
Did you ever at any point, Tessa, give a motivational speech to the girls against the boys?
I have actually, because we would choose like a captain, and I'm just like a super type A person anyway, so I a lot of times got voted the captain. I can't tell you what the speech was, that I don't remember, but I do remember like all of them gathered around and being like, "We're gonna get the boys today."
So, oh my gosh. You're like, this may not survive the Bechdel test, but today, ladies, we will take the boys down. I would be there for it. I would be your hype woman for that.
I just want to see you. Katie clotheslining 12-year-olds at this point. Yeah. We can raise that for Comic-Con 2022. I know that Matt Kelly is playing Possum Disease with us. I know that is a fact. We're doing that.
Fantastic.
I think, you know, in Comic-Con news, and this is Geekscape, I thought this wasn't news, but Comic-Con canceled their November Thanksgiving weekend convention. They were going to do a mini convention called the Special Edition or the Secret Edition, Limited Edition. And everybody pretty much came out with an outcry being like, that is a terrible idea. It is Thanksgiving weekend. And
no one wants
exhibitor
to go.
At Comic-Con, I yeah. wasn't going to exhibit it. I could have gone down and be like, walk around on Saturday or Sunday and check things out. But exhibiting on the weekend that like you can't even get celebrities down there, they're celebrating Thanksgiving. I don't know if that's how you want to go back to Comic-Con.
No one wants to go. You want to go when it is hot as shit out and no one's wearing deodorant and you just want to see your favorite people doing their panels, but
among
you can't
like 10,000 other people. Yeah,
exactly. Pressing on each other. And then just, you happen to go into some kind of exhibit or whatever. No, that you want it in the summer when it's gross and sweaty and smelly and all the possums are out.
You just made it so unappealing that I think that we have to change our entire branding strategy.
I can't tell you how many times I've been like, I want to hand out deodorant at Comic-Con.
Geekscape is what's going to happen.
With like branding on it.
Here's how we're going to get you. This is how we're going to make the customers. Ready, Katie? Because I want everybody to come to Comic-Con and we'll figure out how to make it work. Comic-Con 2022, the big celebration. Come by the booth. Like Katie says, it's going to be hot. It's going to be crowded. You're going to be on your feet all day. Matt Kelly will give you a foot rub.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, what Matt.
What do you think? Matt Kelly gives you foot rubs.
I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm in. I'm in for him to do that.
we play like 50-person possum disease. And as Matt says, let's play possum in the hot tub.
We're going to a little steamy.
Matt,
I don't know.
Playing possum in the hot tub.
So you can at least cook it.
Heidi Cox will tell you, I don't need any excuse to play possum when it comes to that.
Okay.
All right. So, like, I'm always kind of flatlined. what is this show? Y'all wanted to come on and talk about female filmmaking, and I'm sorry.
And he's still all on Steven Seagal and possums.
Matthew,
I mean,
I'm sorry.
We talk about that every day, so.
I know. I was going to say, it's nice to change it up, you know? Like.
Thank you.
What have you been good? What have you guys been talking about lately?
We've been switching it up a little bit. We've been having past guests on that we had before, because one thing that's been really cool is like, we're finding that we're building a whole community. So a lot of, you know, our guests are getting to know each other because of our show and they're starting to work together and stuff. So we started a clubhouse to try to like kind of get everybody together and stuff. So that's kind of been like our focus with the podcast lately, because it's like we were surprised and just like, this is awesome. So why not do what we can with it?
That's
how are y'all liking the clubhouse thing?
We're just sticking to like one event a month. So we're not on it like every week. And so that being said, it's a cool platform because it is live podcasting essentially. And yeah, it's fun to bring back again those guests to talk about those topics. But I can't say like, yeah, I don't know. It can feel weird, but then, you know, so is everything.
Yeah, because you're kind of just talking and then like randomly people are coming in and you're like, oh, and that's, you know, so-and-so, but then they're like gone. And then, yeah, so that format's a little weird, but.
Raise the hand.
Thank you for that comment. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I know exactly what that's like.
I was pretty heavy on Clubhouse for about 2 months. And then recently I go in there and I'm like, no.
Not for this, me.
I'm not feeling any of these rooms. So if y'all are members of the Geekscape Club on Clubhouse, go ahead and join if you want to see a room that's called, that Jonathan starts, that says, I'm eating Chipotle in my car, please talk to me. That sometimes turns into the most popular room. I'm being dead serious. I will be like, I'm eating Popeyes in my car during the pandemic. Please talk to me.
You do and do that a lot. Like,
you'll end up getting like 15 people in there being like, what is this room? I just don't want to be sold cryptocurrency anymore. So, yeah.
I mean, my friend belongs to a club that's like something about chewing ice. And they literally just hang out and chew ice. I don't
really.
Yeah. Oh, there's moaning rooms where people just go, like, they just do like moaning into the microphones and stuff like that.
I've seen rooms also that are just, it's just pure silence. It's just like, it's a study room and we're just hanging out together. I'm like, but you're little, what is that? What is that even for?
That is blowing my mind. But like, we are Geekscape and, you know, we're not social adequacy scape. When did y'all start FemmeGuard? Like, when did y'all start up like the website and the film kind of, I guess, commentary and the podcast? Like, how did this whole thing come together between the two of you?
Yeah, so we met in an acting class because we were both actors first, and kind of got together and had an idea for our first project, which was a Western. Turned out we just filmed like a little tiny, like 2-minute snippet of it. But that was our first project. And we thought, why not make a whole production company out of it? So that was 3 years ago, right, Carolina?
Yeah, we did it. And it started in 2018. And, mm-hmm. you know, with dealing with horses and wranglers, like we went all out on this.
Wow, that's awesome.
We were like, we need to cover our asses, like literally. So, that was, and we're glad we did. Sure. Shit went down that day, but.
Oh no.
What happened? Like, it's fine. It's fine. No, you know, a guy got kicked in the horse with a bike.
Oh, shit.
Did he stand behind the horse?
Yeah, they were backing him out of the trailer and the guy, the horse just went for it.
But the guy was a total cowboy. Animals. Like, yeah.
Total
the guy
badass,
popped it back in that place.
Just what? Like. Yeah. Like he went to the hospital. They were like, no, you need to see a specialist to like pop that back in. And his hand is like this. He's like, you're serious? You're just like not going to do anything. And and then he was just like, and they were like, you want medicine? And he's like, do you think I want medicine? Bye. And then like came back to set.
I got to impress the ladies. I got to show the ladies I'm a real tough guy.
I was like, that is the most cowboy thing I've ever heard in my life.
No, like he is exactly. a cowboy. And he was telling me like he's been in worse like accidents of sure. like things happening but that's you know that's why we talk about it on our show, like why you have to contemplate for which projects. Not everyone needs an LLC right from the get-go, but we were like, yeah, we're starting bit with the big boys, then we gotta amp it up here and make sure we're okay.
Y'all didn't want to start with like a funny, you know, scene on the like the doorstep or
I balls to the wall.
That's what I'm talking about.
The wall.
Yes.
Leia Sockbox Studios, don't worry, we have a blooper reel. I see in the chat there.
Yeah, don't worry. Sockbox Studios on YouTube wants to say put it on a blooper reel, but you know, I think did the movie get finished? Did the piece get done?
We kind of set it aside for a while after filming it because we just got really frustrated with post and we felt like we didn't have everything we needed and stuff. And then we revisited it recently and now it's done. We literally like just finished it, so it'll be released sometime later this year.
Can anyone find it? Like, is there like any like festival it's gonna be in or like
we're figuring out where it when's gonna which
America's Funniest Home Videos is watching some dude get kicked.
Hey, yeah, we have a great clip of a cowboy, like one of the other stuntmen, his horse just like at one point had it and just took him down the mountain riding him backwards. It was insane. And then our favorite little mishap that ended up being an awesome shot was Tessa's horse turning around when she was shooting a gun. It's like,
so I'm literally like shooting backwards on a horse.
She's shooting backwards. Jeez. Like a real cowgirl she is. It's gonna be good.
Are you sure your production company is not called Femme Fatale Regards? Like, you're not just trying to murder men with this thing? Like, that's not just...
But also,
I mean, that
how
is
much
gonna
fun
happen,
was this?
Yeah, how
it was
much
so
fun
much
was
fun.
It?
But it was so stressful on the day of, I'll be honest. Yeah, I mean,
so stressful.
Especially yeah, when you, you're the multi-hyphenate that you are, you know, like the director, producer, actor, writer, what all that kind of thing. Like, that's a, enough as is. But then, like, when it comes to the logistics of actually shooting, like, I'm sure it, mentally, like, just being there is like, oh, this is everything. But, like, going through the process is, like, so tedious. What was it like setting up for that?
Hell.
I'm like a true like, producer.
Yep. I can't. I think, well, this is something that we love about going so balls to the wall hard about this first project is we really didn't know nothing. We didn't know anything about filmmaking and other than what we've researched, but it's a different thing to then actually do the stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's something that we're so grateful that even if we chose like literally the hardest thing to do, that we learned so much from it. And yeah, now we're not going to put ourselves through that again without having like extra help or extra money. That's why we're hoping that this film, and even though we're so proud with the little clip that it is, that we can then generate enough revenue to do the whole damn fund thing. Yeah. Fund it and have extra help, because it's just, yeah, you can't do a micro budget with that. I mean, please, yeah, someone challenge us and do it. We support it. But, and that's the funny thing. Like, I'm sure, like, I could be like, Tessa, I don't know, maybe we could get it under, like, this kind of budget and make it happen. But I think the smarter, now wiser filmmaker, producer would say, no, like, let's have the help, because it was... I mean, you have to, the weather conditions that year, for some reason, 2018, we had floods, we had fires, literally one of the stables burned down. Like,
we had to reschedule like, twice.
We had to reschedule twice. Yeah. We were crying. Like, because as like producing, you have to reschedule and recontract everyone all over again every time that happens. And so it just, all in all, it was the hardest day. And I had to film on my period too. So women out
it's
there.
It's the worst.
On the worst. Like day one, I'm on a horse all day. Like, and yeah, it was a lot. And can I tell you
how much I understand having your red wedding of the month while on a horse? Like, that's a weird thing that I do know what it's like. And it's such a terrible feeling.
You don't want to just like use it as motivation. Like some hack director being like, great.
Yeah, use that anger.
Yeah.
Your face would be punched. Oh. You don't have to wait for Steven Seagal or for anybody.
For Tyrese. I'm not the smartest one, Katie, but I know when to shut the fuck up. What got y'all into the whole idea of filmmaking? I know y'all are actresses, but I say this to Heidi, I say this to Katie, like, and you know what? I don't need to say it to Heidi. Heidi, before I met her, had her web series and everything. You know, sometimes you just got to make your own content. What are some of you? I mean, you have to, or else people are going to give you what they give you, you know? And so you got to just carve it out yourself. And it doesn't matter, male, female, binary, whatever you want to do as an actor, you got to make it yourself these days. What were some of the inspirations that you took, maybe growing up appreciating film, and then like leading you towards becoming like actresses, but then filmmakers, like, where are you, who are your heroes that you're picking kind of as inspiration?
Well, I know one that me and Carolina can definitely agree on is Tarantino. Like, that was one of the first ones we knew that we both loved, which definitely did not come through on the Western, but will come through in future work. Don't worry.
Later.
But yeah, that's definitely an inspiration. I think we both just love like really weird, kind of dark.
Actually, Tarantino loves Westerns. I actually say I got a lot of Western stuff from him, like the sound and even the coloring. So he actually did, his influences are there. And okay. I definitely took that into direction for sure. He's, yeah. Sorry, Tessa. I just had to interrupt because I was like, wait, no. He's huge on Westerns. I was going to say that.
His movies are bloody. She's like, we have to shoot this weekend.
Trust me. There's guns. There's all of that. The pacing. Yeah.
And so sorry, Jonathan turns into a stupid, gross joke.
No. So yeah, yep. Tarantino for sure.
Tarantino was my inspiration.
Like disagreements, like granted y'all watch a lot of, I'm guessing y'all watch a lot of films and discuss a lot of films. We might do that later in this very podcast, but do y'all ever have discussions, like disagreements, be like, no, that person's a total hack?
I mean,
is there somebody that like is your hero that maybe Catalina doesn't appreciate or vice versa?
That's the thing. I don't think we are ever like so anti each, what each other thinks. Like, you know, we have disagreements for sure. There's definitely times when I'm like, oh, Carolina, I don't know if you can do that. And Carolina's like, no, girl, we need to do this. You know, like, and we just, it ends up whatever, we figure it out. We figure out what works best for Femme Regard. But that's one thing I guess, like, I'm grateful for sure, is that we are different enough that like we have different ideas that we come together, but we're also similar enough that it's never like, that's an awful idea. Absolutely not. Sure, you know, sure. So
right. You're not edging each other out on a project or anything like that. That's yeah. Awesome. What, I know we've got the Western and everything, but like, what's next in the plan of like filming? Like what's the next idea? I know there's gotta be something ruminating.
We're talking to SpaceX about going to space and shooting in zero G, and yeah, we're just going to start small.
I was actually just thinking, actually, I was like, if you want a small budget.
Actually, Elon Musk really solidified my like theme and love thought for the next project, which is going to be our first feature film that we are going, it's going to be a micro budget again. We reeled it back to a small plane, but the idea is still big because come on, but it's a psychological, yeah. Of course, a psychological thriller, and it's set in the future. So in a world where we're all microchipped and our thoughts are being transcended to a cloud, and you know, we're able to then, you know, send and sync to who we choose to, pretty much. So like, imagine yourself mind syncing to someone else. But where I was going, because everyone is easy to be like, oh, so it's like Black Mirror, and like,
no, it's like Demolition Man when they use the shells to have sex. Remember that, when Sylvester Stallone, and don't ask me for advice.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Let her keep going.
No, but I was kind of, because it's centered around female friendships and relationships between these two roommates who do a mind sync, and I thought I was trying to kind of also use send a message with technology, that you know, we're fearful of it and where it's going, because you know, if people go back and forth to what social media has done for mental health and et cetera, and wait, in our privacy that Facebook has taken off. And, you know, Elon kind of said it in this podcast. It was a Joe Rogan podcast, of course. 4 hours long. I was out cold listening.
I was just going to say, if there's anyone who I would peg for a Joe Rogan listener, definitely,
yeah. No, I'm kidding. Our crowd. Hey guys. But I loved that he was like, you know, I wouldn't mind if there was some sort of like FDA, like regulated thing on technology. And at first I was like, that's weird. I would never even think he would say something like that. But he's like, you know, it's like, take an example, like marijuana. And, you know, now that we do have, it's being not illegal anymore, it has to be filtered through this government regulated process. And yes, you know, things can always go haywire there, but at least we know we're not getting like poisonous stuff. Like it's going through a filtered system, and maybe systems like protection with technology should be in place, because then, you know, at the end of the day, it's human. The human is the imperfect person, and is the imperfect. Yeah. We're going to make mistakes and use, someone's driving a race car back there.
Yeah,
that's in GTA. He's a
that's my gang. Yeah.
He's trying to go for the Fast and Furious motif.
Yeah, that's Vin. He's like, yeah, good in the car. I'm driving around the block a few times.
Just driving around. But that's where I was like, aha, yes, it goes back to my characters who are the ones that are imperfect. And, you know, the technology, maybe a version of that isn't such a bad idea if it helps, you know, someone not feel alone or understood better. Ooh. But we need to like go back to then understanding the core that, you know, not everyone's a perfect human. No one's perfect. And some people are not actually a good, like they have their own, you know.
I love that. It feels like it's like a bit of a twist on the whole, the singularity model, you know, like the, like, oh, we should be afraid of the singularity happening. But it's like, it's a little bit more like when the internet was birthed, like we're starting to understand bigger ideas, other cultures, like opinions from different people. But this is like a little bit more mind meldy Star Trek. I like it. That's
Yeah, and the technology is really just the vessel for the human conflict. That's really where it's serving, instead of like more of a conversation that technology is horrible, because I don't think it is horrible. I think the reason that we can all be here today and talk and get to know one another is so cool. And everyone, you know, the Geekscape squad is out here tuning in. It's awesome. But we also need to like take measure of it sometimes, I think, and really, yeah, it's the human commentary there that I'm focused on. So we're really excited for that. We're like part of a filmmaker group that we're trying to go through pre-production, script work. So shout out to the back lot, our boy Noam Kroll. He's awesome. And yeah, so that's the next big thing for us.
I think like any tool, right? A hammer can be used to build a house. A hammer can be used to bash somebody's brains in. And we definitely learned that. We learned that throughout human history, right?
Yeah,
and,
for sure. Like, come on.
Facebook is, you know, I don't know. Y'all probably saw the Social Dilemma, the documentary on Facebook, and and all that. And yeah, it is what it is. And I think I said it earlier. I say a lot of stupid stuff on the show, but in all earnestness, one thing that I did say in talking about bringing Katie on as a co-host and bringing your show into the Geekscape Network, why I just didn't blink whenever Matt proposed it, was that I would not want to be a woman on the internet. And a female filmmaker, it's like, you're telling me like Michelle McLaren has yet to get a feature action movie when she directed the best action sequences in Breaking Bad, but you'll give a million dudes an action movie before you give Michelle McLaren an action movie. Like Sally Jenkins had to be like poor after Monster before she got the one, like even she sniffed a Thor sequel.
You say Patty Jenkins or Sally?
Patty Jenkins, who did
I thought you said Sally.
Who did Wonder Woman. Patty Jenkins has gone on record as saying like when Monster was going through her Oscar nomination tour, she couldn't afford to like go to dinner to celebrate. She was paying off AFI loans, and because she had joined the DGA, she could no longer go and she couldn't actually, union rules, touch a camera, but she had made her money as a camera operator up to the point of directing Monster. So she was in this weird place where she had all this success critically, but financially I still got to pay those loans that got me to this point. So I don't know what the solution is, and it's definitely, I mean, I'd love, you know, I'm glad y'all are part of Geekscape, and I'm glad we're giving you hopefully a bigger platform. But as filmmakers, let's figure out what we can do with Geekscape to help y'all along. Geekscape's produced a couple movies. We've helped a few things, but.
That's really sweet. Absolutely. Yeah. No, these are fantastic ideas. And let's help you out so that you can get to that point when you're on set and on the horse backwards and having the time of your life and not worrying about all the minutia.
Exactly. And that's what's been so great about like our podcast, is connecting with the other women that we brought on the show, because now we're like, cool, now we know who we can help hire and like promote, move that forward. So that's something that's really important to us, and also why we, you know, we said we started the production company to cover asses, but our really main thing is to you know, tell women's stories and through the female perspective, and to hire women in front of and behind the camera. So that's like, you know, if you're helping us, you're also helping other women in the industry, because we want to hire, and we're not like going to say no to men at all either. Like, we love our male champions in the industry too, but it's definitely important that we also try to, you know, find underrepresented people.
We need somebody for the horse to kick.
We need that cowboy.
Let's figure that out. One thing that I think I've argued on the show before was, especially like in criticism of the Star Wars universe, was like, why are there only white dudes who've directed Star Wars so far up until a point? But this is supposed to be some diverse, anything can happen universe. And I think when speaking as Mr. Geekscape and Geekscape, you know, being a genre podcast and pop culture podcast, when we think about, you know, one thing that is important is that you're telling diverse stories, and it needs to come from diverse sources too. You can't just be like, oh, we're going to do diverse stories about aliens and superheroes and all that stuff. But, you know, let's not have such a narrow source from which this fountain is supposed to spring. Like, it's got to come from a lot of different voices.
Yeah.
What are some of the best movies this year? And let's talk about a little about the Oscars. I know we haven't watched all the Oscar movies. We can't really sit in theaters too much. I think that some of the best movies were like directed by women. And I thought Nomadland was phenomenal. Did y'all get a chance to see Nomadland?
I have. Carolina hasn't. But it was... I didn't really know what it was about, I guess, when I first started watching it. I just heard like, oh, this is amazing. You have to see it. So I didn't really know what I was getting into. And I was just blown away. I was like, wait, this, I mean, it's not a documentary, like, because these are actors, you know, but right. It felt so real. It was crazy. And it was such a, like, I love those little slice of life movies where it's like, really not even a lot happens, you know, but right. You're still so like drawn into it just because of the characters and like the circumstances and everything. So yeah, I thought it was so good.
And Chloe Zhao is getting the Eternals. Like, she's already filmed the Eternals. That's like the huge Marvel movie. It's got Angelina Jolie and a bunch of people in it. She's definitely going to be one of those people who it's like, oh, what has she done before? And somebody, some Marvel fan is going to watch The Eternals and love it. And then turn around and be like, what? She did Nomadland, like this movie? But I kind of love that. I love that Marvel is picking like really critical and well, you know, well-educated filmmakers to put together their superhero movies. And it's not just like, it's not the inside of a 1990s comic book store.
Yeah. And especially right now too, when they're like making all the changes, you know, that it's like the perfect time that, well, let's make those changes behind the camera too. So yeah, exactly. I'm excited to see what Marvel's going to pump out. Like, I know they have everything announced, but like, I'm just, yeah, I'm excited to see what's going to be different and new and exciting with it all. So
along the trend, did y'all see Promising Young Woman? It's one that I haven't gotten to, but I heard it's awesome.
Amazing. That was one too where I didn't know what I was walking into, and it totally kind of starts off like almost Tarantino like where you're like, oh, this is gonna get gory, like shit is gonna go down.
Sure.
And she tricks you, and it doesn't go that way. And I just love, I was talking about this with a friend the other day, shout out to Katrina Sobrero, about I love it. That it's, they do such a good job of, you know, keeping it light with some, like, the main actress, the writing's hilarious, but it touches a really, like, you know, strong, tough topic to just, like, talk lightly about. And yeah, so I thought they did such a great job. And that is, you know, listening to women who, you know, are rape victims. And, you know, I feel like, and like paying attention and actually doing something about it. So it's like hard to, you know, talk about such grave topics, but I think they did such a good job of like kind of setting that world. And they have so many amazing actors on it too, that you are like, wait, she's in it and he's in this. Like, they keep popping up. And just, I heard everyone loved the script and just wanted to jump on board, because this was Emerald Fennell's first, I think, her debut directing a feature, right?
Yeah.
I think it was her first. Because she did Killing Eve, which I also, me and Tessa both love.
Love that show.
Heidi loves that show. And I think that she's a genius writer. I just haven't sat down to watch it. Obviously, I've watched
Fleabag.
Fleabag's phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I love that she got added to Indiana Jones 5. Indiana Jones 5, and people are
Phoebe,
like,
Waller-Bridge is
what, who's she gonna, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, and people are like, who's she gonna play? I'm like, okay, let's bring back Mutt, is that what you want? Like, I mean, no offense, but like, I think she's talented, and if you hire an actress like that in front of the camera, she can't help but help you out with the script a little bit, you know what I mean? Like, she's going to read that script, and she's an incredible writer. Yeah, Fleabag is on it. Fleabag and Killing Eve were phenomenal.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Fleabag, so I'll have to tune into that.
Oh, yeah, you definitely have to watch that.
Here's my one thing with it. Go to season two. Just watch season one, but like go to season two. Like, make sure that you get to season two, because I was kind of meh on season one. I'm not going to lie. I was just like, all right, yeah, I get what this is. I understand. Season two hit, and I was like, ooh.
Well, okay. See, Katie, you are much more distinguished individual than me.
My Ninja Turtle shirt. Yeah, totally.
I saw this and I was like, oh, they're going to be some fucking. That was my approach. I was like, they're going to be some sex in this show. And
that's what sells for you? Sex sells for you? You know what else sex sells?
Welcome to Geekscape.
It doesn't hurt.
it doesn't hurt. You know what? The show just from off the bat was hilarious. We got a couple of other movies. I really, really love Sound of Metal. I think that Sound of Metal it really did a phenomenal job creating that deaf world. Not that I'm deaf, my audience is now deaf, but just creating that, I guess, that sphere of losing your hearing and the soundscape, I think was so impressive.
Dude, it was heavy. It was a very sad one. So get ready. It is amazing, but it's a sad one. You're like, oh, my heart the whole time.
Yeah, Riz Ahmed should get some kind of recognition for the performance because it's incredible. And you know what? You are forgiven for the Venom movie. Like we're good now. Riz, we're good, baby. We're good.
We'll just pretend it never happened.
Yeah, that's the thing. We don't even have to talk about that movie. Yeah.
Riz is paying his mortgage, man. He ain't worried about no Venom.
He's doing
it. Cash that check, baby. Cash that check. Trial of Chicago 7 I thought was great.
I didn't see that.
It's a good one. It's another, like, it's a heartbreaker type of movie. It's just... it's really cool to see the entire process and see everybody's side of all of the story. It's fascinating, but it's a heavy movie. It's a heavy movie. You got to be in there.
The movie I didn't see that I wanted to see, and it's not up for Best Picture, was Land by Robin Wright.
Ooh,
did y'all see that one where she goes off the land and she like moves to like rural Colorado in the mountains and she tries to live off the land after the death of her husband and daughter? And she directed it, so I was really attracted to the idea of that movie, and the trailer looked great.
I'm gonna check that one out too. Yeah. Female director too.
Robin Wright directed it. She's the lead, and she directed it. Yeah. It might be about like her wanting to go post Sean Penn, like in her life, hard reset. I'm gonna meet Damien Bashir in the mountains of Colorado and live off the land. Which I guess from the trailer is kind of what happens. Damien Bashir is in it as well, and y'all know him from your Tarantino love of Hateful Eight. It's in that one.
Yeah. And Robin Wright, man, everything she's in, like, she just steals the show.
Yeah, she hogs the screen, and what a wonderful and powerful actress. Like, this is amazing. Yeah.
Yes. Jenna.
I know, from Jenny to, like, House of Cards, like,
it's such a difference. Yeah.
Are there any movies that y'all saw that were like, hey, this needs recognition, whether or not it's going to get it on Sunday at the Oscars? So are there any that you were like, oh, people aren't talking about this, but we're talking about this because it was really good?
Actually, you want the audience to turn on it. I have one that's a show, not a movie.
Sure,
But I had watched it shortly after Promising a Woman without realizing they were kind of the same premise. Was I May Destroy You on HBO Max. It was, oh my God, like, same kind of idea. Like, it's about like date rape and stuff like that, but it is so dark and so messy and so, like, all the main characters are like, you can relate to them in ways that it's like, oh, that's what I hate about myself. you know, like, yeah, wow. It is so dark, but it is so good.
I have heard this about this, and I've honestly, like, I've been curious, but I haven't watched it for this very reason, because I'm just like, I feel like, especially like coming out of the pandemic and everything, I'm just like, I'm so not in a place to be ready.
Yeah, you have to be in a place.
you have to.
Yeah.
For sure.
How about you, Catalina? Did you like witness anything that you're like, you know what, this isn't getting recognition that it deserves, and I love this freaking movie or TV show, or...
Well, just a shout out to another pod on the Geekscape Network, my favorite episode of podcast. Shout out. No, guys?
No, shout it out. Shout the hell out. Yeah, no, let's shout
I was
out.
Waiting for the backup.
I'm sorry about that. Yeah. Katie was on the last episode talking about Ted Lasso. So hopefully you Geekscape has picked up on the show after Katie guested on it, if not before.
Yeah. She, we talked about my favorite show that I think is kind of underrated, because they didn't even see it before, it was Succession on HBO Max. That is my fucking show. And I'm waiting for season 3 to come out. I hope that it comes out soon. I think they are in production currently for it. So
yeah. I think one of the actors posted a photo of him in front of like the big office building that is supposed to, you know, the big setting is Roy. And that kind of went viral online. Like, oh shit, they're going back into production on season 3. Okay. And I mean, one thing is, when you look at the Oscars coming up, they're keeping it to like 3 hours. All the musical performances are happening before the official Oscar ceremony to kind of keep it small. There's no host. They're kind of just clipping through it. There are a lot of movies this year that are kind of grim movies. Like Minari is not an easy movie. Judas and the Black Messiah is not an easy movie. And you're watching this and I just am looking through this. I'm like, wow, these movies are really serious. Yeah. Where's Hubie Halloween when you need it?
No, like, Hubie Halloween.
Adam Sandler saved Halloween.
I couldn't get through it.
You have no gratitude to what Hubie Halloween did to protect Halloween.
Listen, I appreciated it. I watched it quite high and it was hilarious. So
okay, there we go. That's how you do it. Okay, good to know. Good to know.
That's why I loved Promising Young Woman. Again, I feel like they were able to put in the comedy so you weren't like, it wasn't just like heartbreaking the whole time.
And you need that. You need that in these kinds of deeper movies to kind of bring some kind of levity. I mean, maybe not as much, you know, but like it's fascinating to me how people use humor in drama in order to bring that sort of like distance that you can have from these deeper, darker topics. Like I couldn't, like Cake was such a hard one to slog, but I was like, I mean, it's an Oscar nominee. It was just like, I was like, yeah, but this is a tough movie.
You know? I mean, just have a dude get kicked by a fucking horse.
That's all you need.
Everybody likes that. You know, no problem.
Oh, man. People are going to be terrified to film with us because they're going to think they're going to get kicked by an animal. You know what I mean? Like,
well, on this next one, they're going to be like,
have that message out
there. On the next one, they're going to be like, wait, we're doing. You're going to Neuralink scan me into the fucking Matrix? I'm not doing your movie.
Absolutely. Shoot me up with the tech. I'm in.
Well, Katie.
I already got my vaccine. So.
I mean, if you got the vaccine, then, you know.
On the last episode, I got that chip. Katie went in for one vaccine, and she ended up getting another vaccine.
I came out with another one, guys. It was a whole thing.
Listen to the last week's episode. She went in for
Moderna. I went in for Moderna, and I was like, all right, see you in 2 weeks. And they're like, nope. And I was like, what? They're like, you got Johnson & Johnson. I was like, oh, that's not what you... Okay.
That's like a sci-fi movie in and of itself. It's like, my body is no longer mine. Big Pharma has taken it from me. You're a prisoner of Big Pharma. I'm so sorry, Katie.
It's fine. It was an April Fool's Day joke. And you know what? I'm still vaccinated. So joke's on you, kids. Okay,
All right. And you know what? For those of you worried about getting the vaccine, just remember, the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, more sequels to Air Bud than there are people who have had blood clots. Okay, so let's just trust in science a little bit more and let's keep moving towards like an open, you know, safe place where we can go back to see the movies and maybe go to Comic-Con and play Possum Disease in a pool.
And start a new
People be like, I ain't getting that fucking pool. There's a possum disease.
Everybody says, we're going to be the dumb idiots that start the new disease, aren't we?
Comic-Con's been canceled and quarantined because there's a possum disease running around downtown San Diego, spreading through the gas lamp. It's not con crud, it's the possum disease.
It's possum 2021. Wait, is it possum 21? Is that what that would be classified as?
It's just a new activation. It's fine.
Well, Geekscape is, if there's something stupid in the geek world, we are responsible. But I love that we had our friends from FemmeGuard here for this episode. What I want you all to do, this is what I want you Geekscapists to do. I want you to be like, forget this Geekscape podcast. I don't want to listen to this. I'm going to go to my podcatcher and I'm going to subscribe to the FemmeGuard podcast, if only for the future stories of some dude getting kicked by a fucking horse on the next production. All right? Or, better
yet,
when they start putting together some crowdfunding for, or whatever they do to try and raise funds for this next project, because it sounds great and it's sci-fi. Great. It's right up our alley. Let's figure out how to make this movie as collective, like Geekscape's community, between Geekscape, FemmeGuard, and everybody else. Let's try and figure out how to make this thing. It sounds great. So this is what you're going to do. You're going to follow them on social media. You're going to follow them on a podcast. You're going to tell your friends about it. And I mean, other than that, follow Katie. She's really funny.
And I'll be retweeting. I'm like already like, okay, I'm going to follow them right now. I can't be looking at my phone while we're on the live podcast.
Yeah, we're really big on Instagram. So at FemRegard, you can see everything that we're doing. We really are good at keeping everyone posted with our show, our episodes, and yeah, what tools we're using to get, you know what the fuck we're doing, so people don't get kicked on set.
Yeah. No one's getting kicked on their set, but I do need that to be like the production, like video before your movies open up. It's just like the guy getting kicked by the horse, and then it just like zooms out.
Yeah.
Well, Geekscapists, you have your mission. If there's any little mission left out for that, tell your friends about Geekscape. We have tons of shows across the network. This is a community, and we just, maybe it's my rambling on Steven Seagal early on, but we didn't have enough time with these two, so let's have them back. Thanks for coming on the show, everybody. Is that cool? Let's wrap it up.
Thanks for having us. You were excited. This was great.
I asked rhetorically because I think one of y'all is going to go get a vaccine shot and
get
have
that
an appointment.
Chip.
Getting so, chipped, guys.
Just double check before you go in. Just double check which one they're getting.
Which one are you this giving
me? Is this the Russian Sputnik 5? Is that what I'm getting?
Is that what I'm getting? Amazing.
Just pure ketchup? Pure ketchup? Is that what it is?
Okay. I mean, really, though, you got the good end of the deal because now you don't have to go back. You know,
I don't have to go back.
You might get a blood clot anyway.
There's more of a chance of me getting a blood clot on my birth control medicine than it is for Johnson & Johnson.
Sorry, Katie, you can only post one Instagram about this. That's the big drawback, is you missed out on the social event of the year.
Dang it. All right.
Geekscapists, thank you for joining us this week. And again, subscribe to FemRegard. We'll be back next week with a brand new podcast. All right. Enjoy. Talk to you later. Toodles.
Thank you.
Bye.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.